Hello. Come on in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Let me know you can hear me in the chat. I am Coach Betsy. It's been a little while since I've done a call for the membership. I've been on vacation last week. And so, hello, Miss Pam. So, I'm assuming you can hear me. So, all right, awesome. Thank y'all. Yep, I got my hair chopped a couple of weeks ago. It's so freaking hot here in Arkansas, as it usually is this time of year. It's no big surprise, but you know what we do. We like to, yes, Cindy, you're here with me. I think the heat index was like 106 or something today, so it's that time of year, that time of year. So, all right. So, this is the monthly binge coaching call, and I am here to answer questions. I am here to do coaching. I am here to just maybe talk about some of my experiences. So, that's what we're here to do. I'm just really here to be a resource for you all to answer any questions you have and to do some coaching specifically on binging and overeating. A lot of times, almost every single call that I do every month, a lot of times people ask me about kind of the difference between binging and overeating. And the first thing I always like to say is, y'all just don't overthink it. Okay. Don't overthink it. But a lot of times, binging can be a larger amount of food. It can, be something like that. But what's really most important and kind of what really distinguishes binging from overeating most of the time is the emotion that fuels it and the emotion that can come after it. With binging, there is usually quite a bit more shame and judgment involved with just maybe an overeat or maybe eating past enough, and you can kind of move on more easily. And so that's really kind of the big distinguisher between binging and overeating. But y'all, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it a purple elephant if you want to. You don't have to call yourself a binger. You don't have to, whatever feels okay to you, please do that, because it's let's not add on more shame and judgment with kind of calling yourself something that doesn't feel good or that makes you feel broken and things like that. My story, really quick, is a lot of you all know my story, but I have been with No BS for almost 8 years. Can't believe it, about 7.5 years. I was Corinne's first full-time employee back in 2018, and I have been a member of No BS, and before that, P&P, and before that, Fit and Fat. Since 2006, 2007, I found Corinne on a Weight Watchers message board when I was doing Weight Watchers for the umpteenth time, I always like to say. So, I was not overweight as a child, but as I got into high school, where we could actually leave school and go and, eat lunch out every day. And when I kind of got more control over my own food choices is when I started slowly gaining weight through college and grad school and things like that. And I had lost and gained weight, probably 50 or so pounds, several times with Weight Watchers, other diets. And then I have actually lost weight twice with Corinne, with No BS. Early on, when we were Fit and Fat back then, we were counting calories, we were exercising a lot, we just were doing what we knew to do. But the program has changed a lot over the years. And so I lost about 50 pounds back in 2011, 2012. And then I went through a big breakup, basically like a divorce. I'd been with my boyfriend for 19 years, and I gained most of the weight back because we really weren't doing a lot of the thought work and stuff back then. And so in 2015, I lost my weight. Can't believe it's been 10 years. I lost my weight for good, and I have maintained it. And when I say maintained it, That doesn't mean I haven't had gains. That doesn't mean I actually got down probably 20 to 25 pounds lower than I am now. And I decided that was not a sustainable weight for me. And so I went back up and I figured out the weight and the goal life and the lifestyle that I wanted. So I think that's important for me to talk about because most people's journey doesn't look like, just losing and, deciding on a goal weight, losing it, and staying there forever. I think we've got to sometimes try out different weights. We've got to try out different lifestyles. And back then, I was eating in a very different way. I was doing no sugar, no flour. And now I eat all foods. And, so that can change over the years, depending on, how you choose to eat. And you can lose weight and, figure out a goal weight for you and keep it off, regardless of how you're eating, because, regardless of what you're eating, I should say. I always say it's so much more important for weight loss, it's so much more important how much you're eating versus what you're eating. Okay. So yeah, I reintroduced all foods into my diet or, foods that I like. And but I've had some gains over the years of as much as 8 to 10 pounds. And then I have taken it back off again. And so that's what maintenance can look like. Okay. Y'all, maintenance doesn't look like just staying in your range forever necessarily. Life happens. We're human. We, go through things. I went through a tornado going through my neighborhood a couple of years ago, and I had a gain because I went through a very traumatic experience. And so, and I've shared that, that in the binge support group. So life happens and regains happen, and we can figure it out all along the way. Okay. So, yeah, Sharon. A lot of times, y'all, we set a goal weight that is just not realistic for you. Maybe it's something we weighed in high school. Maybe it's just some number we got from a BMI chart or something like that. And y'all, there is no right weight for the only right weight for anyone is the one that is doable for you, is sustainable for you with the lifestyle that you want to live. Okay, that's why we talk so much more about goal life instead of goal weight, because that's what we're all doing here is we're creating a goal life for ourselves. It can be hard to let go of that number. Yeah, you'd gotten there before, but here's the thing. If it was sustainable, Swaba, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. If it was sustainable, you'd still be there. Okay. It's not sustainable for you. It's not. So don't you want to set yourself up for something that you can sustain? Y'all, we aren't here to just lose weight. We're here to lose weight and keep it off. Okay? We've done other we've you know diets. Diets help you lose weight. We're not a diet here. Diet, no BS helps you lose weight and keep it off for the rest of your life and live the life that you dream of. Okay? That's what makes us different. Okay. All right. Hot hair. I'm just looking in the chat to see what y'all have. Let's see. And I've got a couple of questions to ask, but y'all, if you want to get coached, please raise your hand. Okay. And in the meantime, I am going to answer some questions and maybe talk about a couple of other things, but I would really, really love to coach, at least a couple of you all on this call as well, since this is an open coaching call. Okay. So, but in the meantime, I will answer some questions here because I've got one from the Q&A and then I've got one that came in to our email. Okay, Susan, I see your hand raised, so you will be up first here in just a minute. Okay, Debbie says, why do I want to overeat when I make a small mistake from my plan? Yesterday, I have a little more starch servings than I planned, and my urges to overeat went crazy. I did not give in to them, but this makes no sense to me. Okay, so why do I want to overeat when I make a small mistake from my plan? I would love to hear from y'all in the chat. I love when I'm just I love to interact with y'all in the chat on these calls because I'm just sitting here all by myself and I can just jibber jabber forever, but I want to hear from you all. Why do we want to overeat sometimes when we make a small mistake from our plan? Pam wins the prize if I had a prize to give. Y'all, we have a lot of very normal perfectionist thinking. We could call it perfectionist, all or nothing, black or white. And then Tracy said, fuck it mentality. That's just perfectionist thinking in another dressed in a different outfit. We have a part of our brain that thinks that we're supposed to be perfect. That's the bottom line, y'all. We have a very normal part of our brain. It's part of our habit brain that thinks that there it is possible for us to be perfect. So when we aren't, when you make that small mistake from your plan, that part of your brain goes, well, you're supposed to be perfect and you're not, so forget it. Maybe let's try again tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's just, go crazy. Might as well kind of thinking comes in. Okay. So it is a very normal part of your brain, Debbie. Okay. So I want to help you make sense of it because you said, this makes no sense to me. And that's what I really want to help you because I mean, I don't want you to be confused anymore. I don't want you to think that you're broken. I want you to know that you are totally, totally normal when you do something that's imperfect and your brain goes crazy. Your brain makes it a big deal. That happens to all of us, and it makes total sense because, again, there is a part of our brain that thinks that that it's possible for us to be perfect. It's not true. It's not accurate. It's not real, but it's still there, and it's a pretty loud voice. And so the next time, I have actually a story with my lunch that happened today that I wanted to share with you, which is kind of the same. It's along the same line. So I'm glad that this question came up. So I have a lot of perfectionist thinking. Y'all, bingers, those of us who do binge sometimes, a very, very common thread running through binging is perfectionist thinking and black and white thinking. And what can lead to binging and kind of continuing to eat more and more is some sort of need to kind of close a loop or to for the eating process to kind of be okay in our mind in some way. And so I think bingers definitely have kind of even like a stronger sense of perfectionist thinking. A stronger tendency towards perfectionist thinking than other people. So all of this is just very, very normal. But anyway, today I ate my lunch. I had a salad. I had this arugula. Oh, y'all, I love arugula. It's like my favorite. And I had like this last kind of bit of arugula I was going to make into a salad. And I have some like barbecue pork that I cooked up and put into it. But I'm just coming back from vacation and the cheese I was going to put in it had molded, so I had to throw it away. And then this other cheese wasn't good anymore. And so all I had in the salad was like some avocado and the pork and the arugula, and then like some Italian dressing in there. And it was really good. But what happened was is that it didn't fill me up. Like just a couple of hours later, I was hungry again. And y'all, this is where like your brain comes in. This is where the perfectionist part of your brain comes in and goes, wait a minute, we didn't do lunch right. That's what I hear in my brain. We messed up with lunch because now we're like we shouldn't be hungry yet. We did it wrong. And y'all, in the past, when I was binging on a more regular basis, that was a trigger for me. That was a pattern for me to like, well, you did it wrong, so it's on. Let's just, we're already hungry. Let's eat and let's keep eating. And, here comes the shame train and all of that. Okay. So I heard all of that stuff. But what I'm so proud of and what I wanted to share with you all that's possible for you all too is that I really. It's taken me years, but I heard that thinking, right? I heard that kind of scared part of me that was like, but we didn't do this right because we're hungry. don't we need to like beat ourselves up? Don't we need to like binge and, try to kind of make up for it or whatever? And I remained calm and I said, no, we just need to find a little something extra to eat because I'm working till 7 tonight, and so I want to be sure I'm fueled through the afternoon. And so that's what I did. And I had some kind of like some snack mix that I had brought home from vacation. Y'all, things like that. It's like it's got like it's like party mix. It's like Chex, Chex cereal and some Cheerios and some peanuts and stuff and pretzels. Y'all, that kind of stuff is stuff that I would binge on in the past. The whole bag would be gone. So I made it easier for myself. I measured me out a cup of that stuff. I'm not going to eat it out of the bag. I'm not going to pour it into something. I measured out a cup of it. That was the serving on the back of the bag. I don't measure out everything, y'all. But in a time like that, where I was already like a little kind of vulnerable and I was a little like, what are we doing here? I had my own back. I measured me out a cup and I just ate that stuff and I didn't need anything else. Okay. So that's where we can really kind of hear that perfectionist thinking and practice like kind of taking back control here and saying, okay, we know what to do. We don't have to be perfect. Sometimes we're gonna undereat at lunch and we need to have a little bit more to eat. But that doesn't have to mean that we did it wrong. That doesn't have to mean that we messed up and fuck it, let's eat the rest of the day. Let's just give ourselves a little bit more to eat and move on with our day. Okay. So I wanted to share that example with you all. Let me see what y'all have in the chat. All or nothing, fuck it mentality. Why is oh, Debbie's in here in the chat. That is how my brain thinks. However, I'm allowing more and more foods that I used to say was forbidden. That's amazing, Debbie. So you're already kind of, practicing something new in terms of just, hearing some of this black and white thinking, this perfectionist thinking, this restrictive thinking. And that's what you want to do when you make a mistake on your plan too. Y'all, we are humans. We are flawed. We're going to make mistakes. The question is, so it's not a question of not making a mistake. It's a question of how do you show up for yourself, just like I did today, when we do make a mistake? I mean, let's call it a mistake or whatever we want to call it, being human. But we can take the reins of our life and say, okay, I made a mistake. How do I want to show up for myself right now that leads me to take care of myself and helps me just move on with my day and my life? Okay. Cindy said, I just can't buy that stuff anymore and realized it about a month ago. Cindy, I want you to think about that. Because here's the deal with I just can't buy that stuff anymore. I hear that all the time. Do you want, I don't, I'm assuming you're talking about like party mix or whatever I was talking about. Do you enjoy eating those things sometimes? I'm not saying you got to buy everything you enjoy and keep it all in the house. But y'all, if we are not letting ourselves have things that we really enjoy, that is restriction and that is going to lead to a binge. That was why I was binging on that party mix and stuff in the past because I was like, oh, I can't have this. I can't have it. I'm out of control. Well, it doesn't mean you got to go buy a family size bag and just keep it in your cabinet. Let's go to the gas station and get us a little bag of party mix or whatever it is. Sometimes I use the example of Oreos. Y'all, I am so big on gas stations and like, let's go and buy a smaller serving of these foods. I went and bought, I was traveling, coming home last week, and I love to just kind of peruse gas stations and see what they got in the convenience stores. And y'all, I love me a cherry Pop-Tart. And I think it's got that red dye that they've banned. I don't know, but I love me a cherry Pop-Tart, and it's like I don't want to go buy a whole box of cherry Pop-Tarts. I just want one or two cherry Pop-Tarts. So they have two, a package of two. Okay. That is how I stay away from restriction. And I'm not going to the store and, buying and eating a whole bag of Pop-Tarts in one sitting, a whole box of one, We have to give ourselves permission to have these foods and practice eating them in a different way than we have in the past. Okay. Cinda says, sometimes when I overeat or effort eat, I tell myself I've been wanting to eat this, so now is my chance. I tell myself I might as well eat all of it. It is hard to pull back from that later. My motivation muscles get weaker. Okay, so this kind of goes along with what I was saying, where, if this is your chance, if you're thinking this is my chance to eat this, that probably means you're not letting yourself have it often enough. Y'all, we cannot save these foods for once a year or twice a year. Because, yeah, your brain's going to be like, this is my only chance. You're not going to give this to me again for a long time. So we got to get it all in now. That's the definition of restriction. Okay. So whatever it is, I want you to let yourself have it more often, Cinda. Okay. All right, good. I'm glad y'all enjoy that story. Someone said, I never thought about binging being related to perfectionist tendencies. It's a huge part of it. What do you recommend doing when I'm having a hard time pumping the brakes when I realize I'm binging and have a hard time stopping? Well, y'all always got to start with awareness, right? Y'all, I mean, this is where we come into like momentum, okay? Of course, it's hard to stop when after we start, right? We have built up momentum. An object in motion tends to stay in motion, and that includes our mouth chewing. Okay, so we just need to normalize that it is going to feel hard, but it's not impossible. Okay, and there is always an opportunity, even if you stop one bite before the bag is done. That is a huge win, and you want to celebrate the fuck out of it. Okay. People say I don't cuss as much as to cuss very much, but I guess I don't. But I do work for Corinne, so I like to cuss when it's impactful. So the number one thing for you is, of course it feels hard right now. I'm stopping momentum, but can I do something different in this moment? Can I do something different? That's how I want you to start. And again, if that just is one bite, you leave one bite left. You throw it in the trash where you're not going to dig around the trash for that last bite. And then you celebrate it and make it the biggest deal ever that you did something a little bit different. Okay. All right. Let me go ahead and start do some coaching and then I'll answer some other questions. But I want to get Susan up here first. Susan, are you, is that Susan? Yes, that's
Yes.
weird. Okay.
Hi.
Let me see. Let me.
Hello.
That's weird that you popped up there. Because I hadn't even pressed the button yet. Let me try something here real quick, Susan. And then I don't see you on your video. Oh, wait.
Well, I don't know why.
Okay, well, we can just talk like this. So, because I can hear you
So,
fine. So,
is there a place that I can do
you can do your video.
video? Where is video?
Let's see.
Maybe
Well,
it's under more.
I ask you to, I promote to panelist.
Okay.
And then if
Oh,
you have
it's.
that, yes, maybe this will work there. Well, that's so weird. Oh, and now she disappeared. Y'all, what happened to Susan?
Mute.
Wait, but I
Start
hear you.
video. Now it'll
Okay.
work. Now it'll work.
Okay, there we go. I see. Now you're over. Okay, y'all. I'm telling you, I don't do these calls as often enough, and then I forget how to do the Zoom. But it's
Well, thanks so much. Everything you said in the beginning really just inspired me. I appreciate your story a lot. 2018 is when I first I learned about Corinne through the life's coach school, What's her name?
Yes, Brooke Castillo.
Brooke Castillo, because I was listening to her. And so then I learned about Corinne, but I thought for years that I could just listen to her podcast. And I did that. And so I was familiar with drinking all the water and getting my sleep. But I'm brand new. I just joined July 10th this month. And I'm a huge skeptic because I've lost my, same 25 or 30 pounds multiple times.
Well,
So
why did you join? Why did you join? Because you joined for a reason.
I joined because I, on my own, tried again recently. I decided I wanted to lose, I think, just 10 pounds, but I lost 3, and then I started up again, going back up. So I said, all right, I'm going to join the No BS program and see if I can't learn something new. And really, I have it's been eye-opening to me. I had no idea I was in the habit of eating of the BLTs. When she talked about BLTs, that I didn't know that was me.
Bite
And
that's bites, licks, and taste for everyone who might not.
yes, bites, licks. I did not realize how much I did that. In fact,
And
I did
all
it
adds
so
up.
much. I cook a lot. I like to cook, and I cook for my father-in-law every evening. And I would say for the last couple of years, I'm not even hungry by the time I sit down and eat the meal, but I go ahead and I eat the meal. So, as far as binging, I think I might binge. I mean, I've caught myself recently eating after dinner. I'll eat when I'm doing the cleanup. And is that binging?
Well, I mean,
Because I'm
it really
full.
is. It is more. I mean, and again, let's not overthink the terms. I mean, it just sounds like you are, you're not hungry, so you're eating when you're not hungry, and it sounds like it's pretty mindless. Like
Yes.
you're not really in the moment, kind of noticing what's happening. And so, we might call it binging in terms of, do you have a lot of shame that after you've done it, are you beating yourself up?
I don't think so, because since I joined, since the 10th, I have really noticed that I didn't even notice I was doing it. So yes, I probably did have some shame after doing it prior to learning that I was doing it. So does that make sense? Like I didn't really.
I think probably, I mean, we could just call it, kind of mindless overeating. And that is another very common way that we overeat. And it's after cleaning up after, cooking dinner is one very common time, again, when we call it grab assing or the BLTs. And then, but then, after dinner when we're cleaning up. And that can kind of sometimes be, we don't like to throw things away or waste food or,
Yes, what is that about? I don't, I mean, I just realized that why do I not want to waste food?
That's a great
That
question. That's actually a
is.
great little journal prompt for you,
Yeah,
right? Where it's like,
I've learned so much. But when it comes to maintenance, I mean, you talked about maintenance and how you go up and down, and so I'm thinking about myself and how I've gained this weight. Like the no flour, no sugar, because that's what Brooke Castillo used to talk about. And I did lose a lot of weight doing that, but it's not, as you mentioned, sustainable. It's not something I want to do. I don't want to give up flour and sugar. They're my favorite things.
Yes, me
So
too. Me too. But it, I mean,
I just.
I was able to reincorporate those foods back into my diet and not gain weight because I focused on hunger and enough.
Yes, that is so brilliant. So my only struggle, I think, at this point is slowing down. Like lunch today, I tried to get it. I was thinking about allowing it to take 20 minutes today when I sat down to it. It was just a bowl of soup. But I'm sitting with my husband. I mean, we could talk, but I suddenly just forgot and mindlessly got through the lunch in 7 minutes.
Okay. Well, this is where it kind of, we were talking about perfectionism a minute ago, right? Where this is where, okay, well, you did 7 minutes. Let's go for eight next time,
Yeah.
right?
Oh,
I mean,
okay. Okay, good.
maybe 20. I mean, 20 is a long, 20 minutes is a long time for a
Yeah.
meal. Most meals take, even if we're kind of really focused on slowing down, I mean, maybe 8, 10, 12 minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
So it just, let's just celebrate the awareness you did have, right? And see that as a win. And then, yeah, let's go for eight next time
Okay.
and really
Thanks.
work on this incremental progress. That is
Thanks.
the key around here. That is the key, that
Thanks.
we make small changes and we celebrate the heck out of them all along the way.
Yeah, so the other mind-boggling thing for me has that I've really enjoyed that's different in this program is that I like dinner again. So like I mentioned, for a couple of years, I don't think I've been hungry for years. Literally, I don't think I've been hungry for years.
And
But now,
that's so many of our members who come in and really don't
and
even remember what it feels like to be hungry. So you are
yeah,
not alone in that.
and because I like to cook, now it's just like it's like fun again. So I really am just very, very happy. But I still am very much a skeptic that
Well,
it's all gonna disappear because it's the
it,
newness. I'm
well,
afraid the
I
newness is
wanted
gonna
to
wear
come back
off.
around to that before you got off of here is of, and just say, of course you are skeptical. Okay. I have been doing this for what, almost 20 years now. And every once in a while, I kind of make myself zoom out and say, did we ever think that we could lose weight this way, right? With all these diets we've been on. Did we ever think it could be as simple as eating when you're hungry, stopping at enough, drinking some water and getting some sleep, right? Never. We thought we had to cut out foods. We thought we had to eat certain times of the day. We thought we had to exercise our tails off, right? And so, of course, you are skeptical. And just that is the most normal thing in the world for you to be skeptical, but right now.
All
And
right,
so just
thanks.
remind yourself that that's very normal. And you can feel skeptical and keep doing these things and practicing these things too, all at the same
Oh.
time.
All right, thank
Okay,
you.
you
Thanks so
got this.
much.
Well, welcome. I'm so glad you raised your hand and we're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right, see ya. Oh, and you got
Bye.
I think Audrey in the chat, she said she chatted with you in Facebook, so
Yes.
today.
Yes.
So
Yes, thanks, Audrey.
she came in and said that. So, all right, I'm gonna take you back down. All right. And Caitlin, I've got you up next. Let me answer a couple more questions and then I'll bring you up. Let's see. I finished Cindy's. Not Cindy. The other question, first question. Okay, so this is Cindy. I struggle so much with overcoming the urges to eat something I'm craving, trying to sit in discomfort. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk urges for a minute, right? Urges are the feeling of urgent desire. Okay. They feel very fast because they are urgent. That's why we call them urges. Okay. And they can feel very uncomfortable. Sometimes I kind of describe it like, I can't not eat this. I have to eat this, right? It just feels so, even just my voice, right? The way the urges sound, this just feels so fast. It feels so urgent. And so I love to kind of teach about urges and thinking of them like a wave, like you're a surfer and you're riding a wave. And urges are like a wave. They come in and then they subside and go back out. They have a lifespan of about 90 seconds if you let yourself ride the wave of the urge. Okay. Now, if you're sitting there with the urge and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so hard, and I really want that and I can't have it. And that is not you riding the wave, right? That's you like out floating in the ocean somewhere. But if we can really get to know our urges and that urge voice and what it sounds like, then this is what it sounds like to me now with most of my urges. Now, I'm never going to say 100%, y'all, because I'm human. I'm not perfect. And sometimes I resist urges too. But a lot of times I'm like, even like today when I was, when I was still hungry and I was eating that party mix and I kind of wanted something else or, whatever, right? I was like, oh, hello, urge. Hello, urge voice. I knew you would be here because we didn't do something quite right today. So I knew you were going to come in and make some suggestions about what we might be able to eat and all that kind of stuff and how it would be fun if we ate this stuff. My urge voice is a lot of times like, wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be fun if we ate this and went and watched something and while we were eating and it's that very kind of fast, quick, urgent kind of voice. But I've gotten to know it over the years and I just welcome it in. Sometimes I describe an urge like a nosy neighbor. Like that nosy neighbor, she's going to keep knocking until you let her in and let her have her say about whatever she wants to say to you about the neighbor next door or whatever. So we need to get to know that urge. And so let's invite it in, give it a cup of coffee, and then it will leave, just like that nosy neighbor. But we got to let it have its say and let it kind of learn to be able to kind of coexist with it. Okay, so I hope that helps, Cindy, with the urge. Is there anything in our material that addresses ways to work on perfectionist thinking? Any tools? Good question, Anonymous. And nothing immediate. Y'all let me know in the chat if you know of anything. I don't think we have, I mean, we mention it kind of, like I said, it's kind of a thread that kind of runs through so much of what we teach. But I don't know if we have a, I've always thought that a specific course on perfectionist thinking would be amazing. So maybe on down the line. I don't know of anything specific. So the key tool for perfectionist thinking is awareness. And I know you're like, wah, wah, there's that awareness again. We all want like a checklist of actions to take, right? But what I encourage you to do, Anonymous, is just go through your day and maybe like set a couple of alarms on your phone throughout the day and just say, did I notice any perfectionist thinking going on? And y'all, here's a lot of times what it sounds like. It sounds like rules. Sounds like rules that we think we're supposed to follow. So like with, I'm supposed to, follow my plan every day. I'm supposed to eat enough at lunch, like with my example. I'm supposed to eat enough at lunch so that it will sustain me until dinner. And so perfectionist thinking definitely comes out a lot of times as rules. Are there some rules I think I'm supposed to follow here? And, or any just kind of like shoulds can come out as shoulds. So just start listening and getting aware. And then in your journaling, kind of really get aware of your pattern of perfectionist thinking and what it really sounds like to you in your brain. So that's what I suggest. All right, one last question and then we'll get to Caitlin. Why do I binge on days when I buy groceries and my pantry and fridge are full? I don't know. Let's just get curious here. Why might it, first off, sometimes I kind of like to ask it in this way. How could it be normal for me to binge on days when I buy groceries and have tons of food at home and I still maybe go out and eat things? Because we want to start from a place of this is normal. This is okay. This is not some broken thing about me. This is just something about me that I want to get curious about, and I want to figure out why I do it, or maybe just start to take some guesses at why I do it. I'm going to start taking some guesses. And that's what I want you to do too, Winnell, is like maybe do some journaling and say, okay, Why do I binge when I, on things, even when I have a fridge and a pantry full of food? Here's where what I've done before is, well, I got that whole fridge and pantry full of food, but let's just get one more kind of, fun meal in before we have to eat all that food. So what I want to ask you, Winnell, is that pantry and fridge full, is there any food in there that you also sometimes binge on? And this is where we got to really look at some diet mentality, maybe. Where if we go to the store and we have all of these amazing intentions of eating clean and doing all this stuff and no ice cream and no, chips and all this kind of stuff, we can have a pantry and fridge and freezer out in the garage and everything full of food. But if it's not the food that we want to eat, then of course you're going to binge. Y'all, you have got to look. This is for everyone. We've got to look at the food that we binge on. And then we've got to look at the food that we have in our pantry and our fridge. And if they are two totally different groups of food, it's not ever going to work. You are restricting yourself from foods that you are already eating. Now, I know why you all do this. You're scared to have some of these foods in the house because you're scared you're just going to keep binging. Okay? And what I say to that is, of course, all that is very normal. We don't have to bring in every single food that we binge on, but we got to start with somewhere. We've got to start with reducing restriction somewhere. Okay. So, what is a food? And actually, somebody mentioned ice cream in the chat, and I like to kind of share my ice cream experience where there was a time where I didn't think I could ever have ice cream in the house. It's just like, well, if it's there, I'm just going to eat it. And y'all, that is still kind of the case. But here's the thing. About every 2 to 3 weeks, when I go to the grocery store, I get myself a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Okay. And I eat that ice cream usually within the next 2 to 3 days. I usually do half a pint one night and half a pint another night. So it's not just sitting around my house. But I'm also not restricting it, right? So we have to be sure that we are not restricting ourselves from foods. But here's the thing, I don't have a million kinds of chips in my house. I might have some, but and then I talked about earlier with the gas station where it's like, give yourself, individual servings of these foods. We don't have to have huge bags of things. But we do have to give ourselves permission to eat these foods that we really want to eat. And y'all, there are no bad foods. Yes, there are healthier foods. I will agree with you on that. But we have tried to only eat healthy foods and lose weight and sustain that, and it hasn't worked for us. Chips are good. We like chips. We like ice cream. We like mac and cheese, whatever it is. Why don't we just see if we can eat some of these foods and still lose weight and be able to keep it off. Okay. That's what makes us different than these diets out there. Okay. All right. So, Winnell, I hope that was helpful. So, yeah, like ice cream is, I mean, you can, but it's like buy it, plan it, enjoy it, and then you're done. And you're done for like, another week or two. But keep doing that on a regular basis. Because if you aren't giving yourself permission to have these foods, a binge is coming, y'all. It never works to restrict foods. It just never works. Okay? I've tried it. Trust me. Okay? And I know it's scary because of all the bullshit diets we've been on that told us we can't eat these things. But y'all, we can. And the only way we're going to know is we got to get into action practicing it and feeling scared anyway sometimes. Okay? All right. Caitlin, bring you up. And then I've got one more question to answer in the from the email. Hello.
Hello. Sorry,
Hello.
I came from the gym, so I look
Yes,
a little
you're nice and
gross.
sweaty, and you get nice and red like I do.
Yes. And it's very sweltering here in
Yes.
Georgia, so.
Here too,
Yeah.
Nashville. So, all right, what
Okay.
you got?
So I don't know that I have a specific question, but I would like a little help sorting through something that happened this last week. So I have been on a GLP-1 for 13 months and have lost 118 pounds.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Yes.
And in that time, like my food noise has been completely gone and have had very few in the way of overeats because just no desire for it. But recently, I've been finding some of the food noises starting to come back, probably just because of the length of time I've been on the medication. And this past week, I had two binges, which is I previously had probably had, I might have one every 2, 3 months. And then that would be enough to be like, oh, I hate how I feel when I do this. And then the medication also kind of keeps the food noise gone. But this past week, I had them with like 2 days apart, which I have not had and since I've been on the medication. And I was trying to sort through what led to it and like trying to figure out what I was thinking. And there was just no thoughts in my brain. It was kind of a just. It was an automatic eating kind of thing and then became momentum and then felt really gross after and then did the same thing like 2 days later.
Okay, so I mean, you're kind of, as you're talking, you're kind of making sense of it as you talk, because it's like, and with two binges so close together, a common thing is like, the first one maybe happens kind of like it's been happening like every 4 months or whatever. But then there was maybe just a little bit more shame or a little bit more just kind of like judgment or whatever that was. I mean, we're just guessing, right? We're just kind of exploring here, where it's like, if I was just to take a guess, how could it have made sense that I did binge just a couple of days later this time?
Well, it happened after we had a family celebration and I'd made desserts and I gave a lot of it away, but still had some left and ended up overeating on the desserts. And I think part of the thing is just my food habits have changed so much. That's not something I usually have any desire to eat. Like it ha doesn't usually feel restrictive because I just don't want it. But I had
But it's
it
like
and
it,
then.
it Yeah, it just makes, I mean, as you're talking, right, it just seems to make more sense, where it's like you're getting a little bit more food noise back from, just we don't know why, but it does happen, right? And then you had more of these foods in the house with yourself, maybe than you have in the past. Could that just be?
And I guess I might be worried because I'm getting closer to the highest dose. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. I still have about 65 pounds or so before I hit my goal. So I've still got a ways and I'm getting close to the highest dose. And I know, the efficiency will become less and less as it goes. So I guess maybe I'm a little worried about having more of the food noise coming back and then having hit the highest dose and not having anywhere else to go.
But this is where, I coach a lot of people that are on, one of the medications. And I think something really important to remind yourself of is, we got to be careful giving the medication more credit than we give ourselves. Because, then, like, when you get to this point, right, where you're getting to the highest dose, or just, something with the medication is not, if we're giving more credit to the medication than we are ourselves, then yeah, we're gonna like say, oh, well, I'm not gonna be able to do this, when all this time it was more you than the medication. And you know, and this is you're at a point right now where, yeah, the tool is going to still be a very helpful tool for you, but it's still just a helpful tool, and you are the one that is that has created this weight loss already, more so than the medication. Do you believe that?
Yes, I know. I've worked
Yes.
my butt off, literally.
Okay. So, you know, it's still just going to be a tool. It might look different. It might, you know, it might, you might have some more food noise and stuff, but you can handle that. You can handle that. You've handled it all, you know, you've handled things all along. You can figure that out, right?
I think that's where I'm getting nervous because up until now, the food noise has basically been gone. And getting it back kind of scares me a little bit.
Well, this is where we want to. I mean, why does it scare you? Like, what is your story about the food noise coming back?
I've had times when a dose has started to feel like it's get not enough because the food noise has come back and it feels when I've had the experience of not having it, having it come back feels almost overwhelming and almost out of control.
And that is like, again, sounds like where it's like, you know, there's some sort of thought going on that's like, you know, I can't have food noise and continue to lose weight or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly that, but some sort of connection there.
Yeah, that resonates.
And, you know, awareness is always the first step, right? Where it's like, and this is an amazing journaling opportunity for you, right? Where it's like, okay, basically, let's just go where your brain kind of doesn't want to go. How can I continue to lose weight and then keep it off with food noise? I mean, because I mean, the thing is that, I mean, you know, your insurance company could call tomorrow and say, no more medication, right? Or whatever situation you're in, right? And so it's like, let's kind of just go there and really remind yourself of how you made this happen with the tool of the medication, but it's still a tool. It didn't do the work. You did. You did. And let's, you know, let's also, you know, how can I kind of what relationship do I want with this food noise that, you know, what relationship, and, you know, that's that doesn't feel overwhelming, right? That feels like, oh, this is a normal part of long-term taking this medication. Even how could the food noise like be a partner with me? You know, I was talking about urges before. I mean, that's kind of food noise. I mean, you know, a type of food noise, right? And I talked about like inviting it in, right? Getting to know it, letting it have its say. And because when we're not, you know, we always say what we resist persists, right? You are resisting that food noise,
Yes,
like nobody's
completely.
business, you know? And we gotta invite it in and get to know it and say, okay, how can we work together here to keep losing weight and to, because I mean, you know, we don't know what the future looks like in terms of if you're going to be on the medication long term or whatever, but don't you want to figure out now how to keep losing and learn how to keep and keep it off, whether you're on the medication or not. And this is it right now. That's what you're figuring out right now. That's, you know, and that's key to long-term success. So, what do you think?
No, that sounds right. I think I have a story around food noise. And I think I have some a lot of fear
around the medication losing effectiveness and it coming back and then losing all the progress that I made.
So again, it's like, sometimes I kind of think, I'm not an expert on the medication by any means. I'm not a medical, professional, right? But it's like, we can lose weight with the medication as a very helpful tool, but there are also people who don't take it right and are able to lose weight with the food noise still going on, right? And so it's like, absolutely utilize the tool if you can, if it works for you, if you can afford it, all that kind of stuff. But I believe that weight loss is possible for anyone with the tools that we teach. And so it's like, I mean, it's good news all around because, if you have this tool, great. But even if you don't, we can develop this relationship with this food noise that that we can, still be successful.
No, that makes sense. And I think getting rid of that, or not rid of, but facing that fear of the food noise will probably cut down a lot of those binging desires that I have too. I think that's a lot. I think that's all tied together.
It's all tied together. It's all connected because if you have a more kind of calm story or just, more kind of normalizing story
Yes.
about hearing some of the food noise, then yeah, there's not going to be a need to binge because it's
Yeah.
like, oh, there it is. I knew it. I knew it was probably going to be there. And it's not a big deal. It's not a problem. How could it not be a big deal or a big problem for you? Because again, it sounds like you mentioned at the very beginning that that can happen with long-term, use. You may want to, if you're in our, medical weight loss group, if there's been any discussion about that in there, ask around in there, see if anybody else has experienced that can kind of help you normalize it too. Okay.
That's really helpful. Thank you,
Right.
Betsy.
All right. So good. I know this will be helpful for other folks who are on the medication too. All right. Take care. See ya. Bye
Thank you.
bye. All right. Good stuff. Okay, y'all. I've got this one other question, and then we'll see if there's anything else and get out of here. So let's see. Hi, Coach Betsy. Can you discuss being sick and wanting to binge or overeat for comfort? I'm sick this week and have very strong cravings in the evenings for salty and sweet snacks. I've been saying fuck it and eating. Any words of wisdom? Wonder if anybody, have y'all experienced this? So here's my kind of little tool for figuring out kind of why do I want to eat right now, right? And so the little kind of tool or little trick that I'd like to do is let's pretend that you can picture me, you can picture Corinne, Coach Kathy, anybody. What if this person, they're sick, right? Let's say they're on the couch sick, and they it's in the evening, they want something salty and sweet. Let's say I busted in there into their house and I said, okay, I know you want something salty and sweet right now, but we're going to just pause for a minute and we're not going to eat. What would you all have to experience in that moment if you didn't eat? There's your answer. Okay. What is left? This is another kind of way to ask it. What is left when we don't eat? Y'all, a lot of times it's not some big, dark, overwhelming feelings that we're avoiding. A lot of times it is restlessness. It is just some kind of ickiness, like, oh, I really, want something and I'm not gonna give it to myself. So often that is what we are avoiding when we eat. We're not avoiding childhood trauma, rushing back to us. Now, sometimes we are, but a lot of times, y'all, it is just low level discomfort, restlessness, ickiness, whatever you want to call it. But that's it. That's it. And for this person, it's probably sitting there going, I'm sick and I hate being sick. And like, how long is this going to last? I don't know how long this is last. Maybe, I mean, y'all, when I get sick, I have all the same thoughts. Maybe I'm dying. My brain, you know, very quickly becomes super dramatic when I get sick. Like, I want an immediate timeline of how long this illness is going to last and when I'm going to feel normal again. And so it feels a little scary. It feels a little uncertain. It just feels a little icky. And so we eat to avoid sitting and being with that. But that's it. Okay, a lot of the time, that's it. So that's my guess, is why you want to binge or overeat for comfort. It's like, what am I looking for comfort from? You might be looking for comfort from just, you know, feeling physically icky, but y'all, most of the time, we're looking for comfort from our thinking. Comfort from the stories we're telling ourselves, just like I was talking about with Caitlin. Comfort from the story that you're telling yourself about food noise, the story that you're telling yourself about being sick, the story that you're telling yourself about work, the story that you're telling yourself about your relationships. That is what we're looking for comfort from, are these stories that are just running, running, running all the time, and that we're thinking are a big problem in our lives. Okay. So I encourage you all to kind of play my little game. The next time you have an urge for something, and say, okay, let's pretend Betsy busted up in here and said, let's just pause for a minute. If we didn't eat, what would we need to be willing to experience? What would we need to be willing to feel in this moment? And can we handle it for maybe just like 30 seconds? And then we can check back in and see if we still want to eat. This is what we call pause plus permission. Okay. So we commit to taking a pause when we get an urge to eat something, when we're, you know, when we're not hungry. We pause, and y'all, it can start with 10 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour at first. But maybe work up to a few minutes, because that gives time for the urge to pass. Like I was saying earlier, how an urge is like a wave and it goes in and it comes back out. So we need to put some time in there when we get an urge. But then the permission part is, okay, we can still eat, but let's just slow this urgent process down a little bit. Okay. But the other thing, as I was talking, I was thinking, I mean, there is sometimes when we are sick, I'm reminded of like Corinne when she's low on iron and stuff, you know, sometimes we can crave salty things. We can crave, you know, sweet things. We can crave like meat. We can crave, you know, when we're sick and our body is like lacking in some sort of nutrient or something like that too. That's what I call that, more of a craving. And then like an urge is just, you know, we want to eat something when we're not hungry, you know, that's an urge. But it might be it might be kind of a more of a physical craving of like, I'm sick and I, need something salty to kind of, you know, meet some sort of nutritional need. So you can kind of Google that and see if anything comes up, that sounds like you might, be kind of lacking in some sort of nutrient. But again, a lot of the time, it's just this, we want comfort from the story we're telling ourselves about, you know, being sick and woe is me and, you know, feeling like a victim and all that kind of stuff. I mean, y'all, that's where my brain goes when I get sick. You know, it's not fair. You know, like, I don't want to be sick. And, you know, I'm scared something big is wrong with me and all that kind of stuff. All that drama comes in, and yeah, right on time. And then what is the story that you want to, the new story, right? That you want to practice yourself, kind of the ping pong. What's the pong? Everybody gets sick. It's a normal part of life. Let's figure out some ways to take exquisite care of ourselves right now. And let's just ride it on out. We don't know how long it's going to last. Of course, our brain wants the certainty of a timeline. But that's not what we get when we get sick. So that's kind of how I like parent myself in those kinds of moments. Okay. So, all right. That's what I got for y'all. So anything else before we get out of here? Let's see. I want to just go back to the chat and make sure I didn't miss anything. Tracy said, I've struggled with stress eating and binge eating to the point that I can't hear the thoughts. How do we unlock the silence that has been buried in food? Okay, Tracy, I just kind of talked about that, right? Through the pause. Through, y'all, we're not going to hear anything when we're eating, right? When we're eating, we got to stop eating to hear things. That's why that's why the pause is such an amazing tool and a helpful tool. Okay. We eat to silence things. We eat to check out, to numb out, to escape. So the way that we hear our thoughts again is we have to stop eating. Okay. But here's the thing. That's why pause plus permission is so helpful, is because, but it can feel scary as all get out to stop eating because we're afraid of what we might hear. So let's start with 30 seconds, right? And then we can still eat if we want to. But I'm going to take 30 seconds. I'll set a timer on my phone. I know I'm going to be okay. And let's see if we hear anything today. Okay. That's what I encourage you to do, Tracy. Let's see. Susan says, this is how we did it as kids. Parents shopped every 2 weeks and we would feast after they shopped. So I tend to do that now also. Amazing awareness, Susan. Amazing awareness. So now you know, right? Like if because I wasn't clear with, I think, Winnell's question on like whether she was binging on the food she was buying or binging on other food. But regardless, right, you just want to get aware of like, how does this make sense that I binge on, like if I do binge on the food I buy, right? Like a lot of it does sometimes connect with how we grew up and how, our relationship with food that we were taught growing up. And so you just want to get curious about that. And y'all, it doesn't matter how long it's been. I don't care if it's been, 80 years. We carry those things with us all throughout life. Our brains were still forming. And so we received messaging and ways of doing things. And people taught us things when we were children. And it's like it happened yesterday. It's like, that's how fresh it is because of when we learned it. Okay. So really get that awareness of how all of this could make sense. Winnell says, I grew up poor and when lots of groceries suddenly appeared, it was so exciting, but I'm not poor now. I can buy any foods I want, but old habits die hard, right? So just be gentle with yourself, Winnell, right? Where it's like, okay, I know why I overeat when I first get groceries. I know it's just that old stuff. It's that, going back to being a kid. And I'm just going to keep reminding myself in a very soft, loving way, we can buy food whenever we want now. So we don't have to eat it all now. We don't have to do what we used to do. We'll be safe doing something new and different. It comes back to safety, y'all. So much of what we're doing here comes back to safety. Absolutely. All right. This has been so fun. And I hope it was helpful for you all. Like I said, the replay will be up in a couple of days. Actually, maybe probably on Thursday. I think the Thursday or Friday. I can't remember what days the replays come out. So feel free to you know, let me know if, in the binge support group, if you all in our Facebook group, if you all have any questions with anything we've talked about today. I'm in there on a daily basis to support you all and answer any questions. And also ask coaches, of course. We've got all the coaches in there answering questions. So thanks so much for being here. And we do this every month with our binge calls every month. So I'm here to support you all throughout the month. And then we have these calls once a month. So, all right, y'all, just check the training calendar for the next one. And I will see you all then. All right. See ya. Bye-bye.